It's time for another episode of the Infinite Loopback Podcast, an Apple-themed technology podcast with your hosts, Brian Baggett, Jim Graham, Brad Tarver, and Jason Young. Welcome back. Happy New Year. Happy 2020. Did you guys have a pleasant Christmas, holiday, whatever, what have you, winter solstice? Tell me what you guys did.
I just went back to work today. I've been off for 2 weeks. I spent the first week in Maryland at my future in-laws, and then the second week on a cruise ship going to the Bahamas, St. Thomas, and St. Martin. It was an awesome cruise. The weather was great for us. We didn't do very much in the way of like excursions or whatever. We kind of just got off the boat and did our own thing. So I really enjoyed it. It was a good holiday.
Fantastic. I'm glad you had a better cruise than I did in 2019. Did you get any cool gifts over Christmas, or did you take care of all that before you left?
I got some cool gifts. I got some Ole Miss gear and Saints gear, two loser teams, although I am aboard the Lane train now. So how about that? Not a whole lot else. You know, like I said, just, you know, clothes and some cool socks and some liquor, just that kind of stuff. You know, you like when you get old kind of stuff.
Yes, boring Christmas becomes necessary Christmas.
Socks again?
I mean, when you know, I'm like y'all, you know, where if you want something, you buy it, you know. So and Megan and I are the same way in that respect. So what we do is we've this second year now, we do stockings, and you have like I think this year we set it like $120, you know, just to put junk in a stocking. And so, you know, she shoved a T-shirt in there and another like a Ole Miss thing. I'm trying to remember all the stuff that was in the stocking. It seems like that was forever ago at this point. So, yeah, I mean, you know, it was that kind of thing. And then, you know, I got a knit cap from my mom and a really nice Saints, like, pullover sweatshirt thing from Megan's parents. I got, at least the first four, these really big illustrated Harry Potter books that are kind of neat. So, you know, that was something a little different. I got that from Megan's sisters. So, but the cruise, you know, the cruise was the big spot, and that was really nice. It's becoming like a New Year's tradition now. 2 years in a row, we've went on the cruise for New Year's.
God bless, man. I can't. My idea of hell. What about you, Brad? What'd you do? What'd you get?
We just went out of town for a few days. I got some new controllers for my VR setup on my PlayStation. I got some new VR games for it.
Tell me what you got, what you get, and how are you liking? I don't think we've talked about you doing VR on the PlayStation in previous episodes. Tell us about it.
I got that silly game, Rick and Morty, or something about Ricktality or Rick Reality or something. And basically, he just gives you some tasks to do in his garage or whatever, and you put together these scientific experiments or whatever. You're just kind of his boy and, you know, do stuff for him, and you get to interact with Mr. Meeseeks and with both Rick and Morty. It's fun. And then I got what was that other game? Oh, the LA Noire. There's a release of that has VR content in it. So it's obviously, you know, that sort of first person view, but you're in that old school Hollywood, you know, era. So it's pretty neat.
Nifty. Nifty. What else? Anything else?
You know, typical knickknacks you get in your stocking, candy and beef jerky and some clothes, like Jim said, you know, like, again, you know, old man stuff, underwear, socks, and clothes.
No, I know all too well. I spent a little bit of time in Mississippi visiting my folks. I came back for a single day and then took off and went to Nashville and hung out with my wife's family for several days. So I was gone from a couple of days before Christmas until last, I guess, New Year's Eve. I came back unexpectedly on New Year's Eve. We were supposed to be gone until the first, I think it was, and had some something come up that sort of brought us back. So we came back a little bit early. I myself, like you guys, don't really get much in the way of stuff for Christmas because of what we do just during the year. I did get my wife a couple of little gag gifts. I'm getting her a real gift. We're gonna take a trip to New England sometime, you know, later in the spring. That was gonna be my gift to her. So I'm gonna plan plan that trip and put that together. But a couple little stocking stuffers. She's a huge Golden Girls fan, so I got her Golden Girls Trivial Pursuit. And then also Funko makes a Golden Girls little game. So just a couple little games. And I got my butt kicked at Golden Girls Trivial Pursuit. So I did watch a lot of those shows when they were on originally, but that was like 30 years ago and I was a kid. So I don't really remember much about it. She knew more of it than I did, but some of that stuff was really, really arcane and difficult to get. So
I'm sure there is some esoteric trivia in that.
Oh my God, you wouldn't even believe it. If in doubt, just say Sophia.
We ended up in a candy store / toy store in Fort Walton the day our cruise got back. We weren't leaving until that evening, so we kind of bummed around Fort Walton for the day. We went and saw Jumanji at the theater in Fort Walton and then kind of bummed around. And this candy toy store had like a whole huge section of Golden Girls stuff. Like they had action figures. I think they had like Golden Girls Monopoly. Just all kinds of stuff. That's kind of crazy that you mentioned that, because I was like, wow, this is still a thing.
It is definitely still a thing. It was like the number one show on Lifetime, even though it ran on NBC. And it had been off the air for like 15 years, and it was like the number one show on Lifetime. Like they held the streaming rights, not the streaming rights, the TV rights for the longest time. Now it's on Hulu or something, I think. But yeah, I thought that was kind of a weird thing myself. Speaking of Jumanji, what did you think of that Jumanji movie, Jim?
I don't think it was as good as the last one with The Rock, but it was fun. You know, I mean, I wasn't expecting a whole lot for the one from last year. And that one actually surprised me that it was pretty good. This one, not as good, but still entertaining. I mean, you know, we're AMC, like we don't pay, you know, we pay the monthly fee. So, you know, it was definitely worth, you know, it was an entertaining something to do during the day, waiting for our flight.
I feel the same way. I like the first one a lot better, like a lot better. The gag of seeing Kevin Hart and The Rock play older versions of different people, it was funny at first, but, you know, as someone who deals with his parents and his wife's parents, it hit a little too close to home because those same things that are funny in the abstract in a movie, I hear day in and day out. So it sort of got on my nerves more than it entertained me, if that makes sense. You know what I mean? Like, you know, the first couple of gags you hear of you can't hear or they completely misunderstand or is fine. But when you live with that on a near regular basis, it's, I don't know, the novelty kind of wore off pretty quick. But yeah, I agree. It wasn't as good. Somebody mentioned something today, though.
The slow talking with Kevin Hart, that was the best. That was actually the best of, you know, just the slow talking or the storytelling, you know, where the, like, he's supposed to be saying something and, you know, it just beat around the bush until he finally got to it. That was the best. That was
dear really God, is it ever? Oh my goodness. Yes. We were just actually mentioning that today. Coincidentally, I won't get into specifics, but yes, that even came up in my house today, that very topic. And I don't want to spoil the movie for anyone, but I'm going to spoil it. So if you haven't seen the new Jumanji movie, who cares? Because it's a Jumanji movie. But something that didn't click with me when I saw it the first time is, you know, towards the end of the movie, Jim, they go, you never in the movie, whenever they want to see what their stats are, they tap their chest and it pops up their stats. They do it to the bad guy at the end of the movie and his stuff pops up, which indicates that someone was controlling him. When I watched the movie, I didn't even think about that as an aspect of it.
There's potential for a third movie.
Yes. And it's something that I don't think anybody, I didn't see it mentioned anywhere. Just this one podcast that I listened to, mostly nitpicking with the guy, Nando, does Nando V Movies on YouTube. He mentioned it. And it was kind of like, well, wait a minute. Yeah, that makes sense. And The Rock, I guess, confirmed it in an interview. But anyway, neither here nor there. But I don't know why it didn't occur to me when I watched it. But when they hit his chest and it's, you know, here, vulnerabilities. Let's see. So getting into to tech. Oh, one more thing about the Christmas stuff and VR. I had took my VR headset and I took my wife's VR headset with me to Nashville. And that was the biggest hit with my teenage nieces and nephews. Like the entire time we're in the rental house. I should have filmed more of it than what I did. But they're standing there like one of them's playing Beat Saber and the other one is like at the gun range, like, you know, shooting stuff. Or, you know, me and my nephew would take on zombies. I actually had my nephew, who's in high school, go, all right, this is enough for tonight, Uncle Brian. I've had enough. I'm tired. I want to go to bed. I'm like, what are you talking about? We still have zombies to kill. You know what I mean? Like, normally you would expect that to be reversed. The guy in his 40s would be like, all right, I've had enough, kid. And instead, I'm like, don't be a wuss, man. Get over here. Help me kill these zombies. It was a big hit. They loved it. Even my brother-in-law, who gets motion sickness, had a hard time prying it off his head. And I'm like, how does that work? You get motion sickness and you're playing Beat Saber. This doesn't seem right. But he loved it. I always thought he was exaggerating.
We've talked a little about your games and Brad's games. And I I gave my Switch to Megan's niece for Christmas. I just wasn't playing it a lot. You know, I hadn't touched it in a while. And she loved it when I was there last Christmas. We played a few of the games together. Or when I was there last Thanksgiving, rather. I was there for Thanksgiving last year, not Christmas. Yeah, so I gave her the Switch. I did keep my Pokeball attachment so I could play Pokemon, you know, with my phone, Pokemon Go. But yeah, I gave her all my stuff for the Switch, and she was super excited, as was her dad, about playing Zelda. So,
about to say, Breath of the Wild is a very expansive, open ended, never ending type of game. I still don't think I've gotten to the end of it yet. A lot of the stuff that's on there is actually really good, but I never use mine as a handheld. I got into a discussion on Twitter last week with someone who was talking about they hated the Switch and it was terrible compared to the PS4 and the Xbox. And I thought, well, you know, it's not that bad. You're not going to be playing Red Dead Redemption or Grand Theft Auto or something on it, but the Mario games and the Nintendo games are, you know, they're top notch. So,
I mean, they're not really comparable as platforms either. I mean,
no.
One's meant to be like a 3D powerhouse and one's meant to be a portable platform.
Yep. And Super Mario Kart is still a lot of fun, which, by the way, when I was visiting my family in Nashville, they broke out the Super NES reissue. And whenever I remember playing Super Mario Kart, I always remembered on the N64. I didn't remember it on the Super NES. I almost got a headache playing it on the Super NES. The graphics are so terrible. I don't see how people even stood it at the time, but I didn't even realize there was a Super NES version.
Was it like pole position bad?
Oh my God, it made pole position look good.
It probably didn't bother you before because everybody had those, you know, crappy standard def TVs.
Yeah, having the CRTs probably helped a lot. So, speaking of television, I noticed a really weird issue with the Netflix app on the Apple TV 4K. I had this weird glitch where I was about to start The Witcher. I've been trying to, you know, work through some things. Haven't been home to really watch anything. But I noticed the stuff that was in Dolby Atmos wasn't showing up in Atmos. It was showing up in 5.1. I thought, well, that's weird. I know some of this stuff is in, like, the really good surround sound. So I'd fire up the app on my TV and it showed in Atmos. I'm like, well, that's kind of strange. And I didn't think much about it. I'd reboot. I made sure the OS was up to date. Firmware on the soundbar was up to date. Like, what is causing this? Turns out the answer was found on Reddit, where there's a glitch in the app. It will report the content as 5.1. And then when you start watching it, if you do the little, you know, swipe down from the top on the remote, it'll show you that it's in Dolby Vision, Dolby Atmos. And then if you hit menu and bounce back out, everything is fixed. So it's kind of like until you play the first bit of content, it doesn't realize that all of the content is even capable. It's the weirdest, weirdest thing. Which leads me to wonder, you know, CES is going on this week, and LG said that their 2020 OLEDs are going to have the Apple TV app is going to be built shipping from the factory now, like as part of this thing. And you see this too, Fire TV is going to be on a whole bunch of different platforms, including something for cars now, I heard today as well, on listening to the Tech Meme Drive Home thing today saying that. And Roku is doing the same thing. So Roku and Fire TV are trying to become platforms. Apple app is going to be everywhere. If that's going to be the case, going forward, is the Apple TV going to still be relevant now that the apps are out there? Like, why would you ever want to use the Apple TV if you can get this built in? And the only thing I can think of is arcade, but there's no real reason they couldn't include that into the app as well. So what are your thoughts on this? Because I don't think we've seen an update to the Apple TV since, 2017, I think was the last update?
I think the whole thing about arcade maybe not being included is because of potential storage issues of, like, you know, if you're going to buy like a Fire Stick, sure, you could have it stream movies, but it's not going to be able to store, you know, the games that you would download. And it's not going to have the CPU or the graphics or it might have the graphics since they can probably both do 4K, but it may not be able to do the graphics of like trying to render 3D gaming content on a screen. And I just feel like probably the hardware in the Apple TV is better than it would be in a USB stick sized device.
That's a fair point. I mean, that's probably the one reason to at least keep that thing around. Though at that point, I could see them marketing it more as a game machine than a TV machine. What do you think, Jim?
Yeah, I kind of agree on the storage size, you know, the storage of for games and whatnot. But I mean, if it works as well as it does with the hardware, I mean, if it's this quick and you know, the performance is not an issue, then, you know, I definitely think that, you know, the little hockey puck is on its way out.
I find myself not wanting to switch and use a different remote, and even though it's all HDMI CEC and then the inputs flip, but half the time when I go into the Apple TV and I hit menu, it takes a while, even though it doesn't sleep, for it to come forth and do what it's supposed to do. Sometimes I have to turn it off and turn it back on. It's kind of unreliable. I would love to just turn on my TV and go. So I guess that's why it's become sort of a sore spot. And seeing like this little glitch where I'm having to use the TV to double check the Apple TV is a weird little bit of business.
My Logitech remote works with my Apple TV, and it's not as smooth as using, you know, the slide around on the touch surface or whatever, but it's definitely less error prone when you're, say, laying on the couch and watching TV in the dark and you have set the remote on your chest or whatever, and you go to pick it up and you say might pick up the Apple remote upside down, whereas I always know, you know, based on the way it feels in my hand, I know which way the Logitech remote goes.
Well, you know, one added benefit of that, too, is that a lot of times in your TVs, you don't always have the same apps that you would have through Apple, but if Apple offers it, you can. So, for example, if you wanted to watch HBO on my TV, there's not an HBO app for my TV. I have to use the Apple TV. But if you buy your HBO through the Apple TV subscription, you can watch it from within the Apple TV app, I believe. That and like Stars and other types. Anything you can watch through the little app on like your Mac also works on the TVs, is my understanding. So there may be an opportunity there. I don't know. I'm tired of switching those inputs.
Yeah, same here. I mean, I've watched a lot of live sports lately, and we have Spectrum that comes with the condo. Like, it's just built into the, you know, the condo. So if I'm watching live sports, I could watch it on my AT&T now, but I watch it on the actual cable, you know, because there's lag with streaming and whatnot. But just getting things to switch back and forth, and it, you know, and sometimes if it just doesn't want to work right, it just frustrates the hell out of Megan. And she's so used to just having her Spectrum that she generally watches regular TV on that, whereas I'm used to streaming now for the last, you know, 4 or 5 years, that, you know, if besides sports, if I'm going to watch something, I just kind of default to go into AT&T now. So it would be nice to have, you know, one or the other. I keep thinking I'm going to ditch the AT&T now, but, you know, I've got a good price. I've got the big package. And now that I can stream on my phone without it counting against my data caps when I'm out and about, that's what's really convinced me to keep it. So I can basically watch any, you know, football game or whatever, wherever I'm at, and it doesn't count against my caps. So that's nice.
I have HBO through my AT&T TV subscription. So I use the HBO Now app on the, I think it's HBO Now, or is it backwards? Do I have to say that backwards?
Go is the one with the subscription. Now is the standalone.
Okay, so I'm on HBO Go then. Well, I guess the Apple TV app will, you know, does that deep linking or whatever into the HBO Go app. So inside of the Apple TV app, it will show HBO shows. But when you actually go to watch, you'll see it launch, you know, the HBO Go app, instead of, you know, playing it directly inside, like you said. I think, sort of like Megan, you know, my wife would prefer to just have regular cable also. It would just be simpler because, you know, she's comfortable with opening, you know, turning on the Apple TV, but then she's doesn't know, like, well, where is the voice? Is it on Hulu or Netflix? Where is this show? Is it on Netflix? And she's not always sure which app it's going to be under. And I think it would be easier to just go back for her to go back to traditional, you know, cable and just have the remote where you can just flip the channels.
The other thing is the DVR on AT&T Now is awful.
It sucks. It's
so
terrible.
Garbage. If we're going to do anything on the DVR, we do it on the, you know, the cable box, and that, because that one works well. So
I swear I don't watch anything off network TV. That's like everything I watch. I thought moving away from streaming, I mean, away from traditional television would hurt my viewing habits. But I swear to God, I don't miss the DVR like at all. Like with Hulu, I get every show. I pay for CBS. I get all those shows. So it's kind of like I never, I have stuff on my DVR and AT&T, but because you can't fast forward through half of it, I never even use it.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't a standard TV watcher. And of course, you know, now got to split time and, you know, be nice. And so, you know, I end up watching Survivor and The Masked Singer and I'm trying to think of the other ones, but yeah, you know, there's those times. And Survivor wasn't that bad this season.
And we all know how it goes in a relationship. You're talking to a guy who knows all the intricacies of like at least four of the Real Housewives franchises. So I totally get you. Let's see. What else? So I noticed that Anchor's Eufy cams this week, they now support HomeKit. And I really had a real hankering to sort of ditch my Amazon Cloud cams and move over there. The only thing that I don't like about it is it supports HomeKit, but it doesn't do the HomeKit secure video yet, which I've switched my Logitech Circle 2 over to that. It's kind of nice to be able to have it and have that go against your, you know, you pay one fee, you're paying for that storage anyway, and your video just goes into it instead of having to go and be used through, you know, some third-party service. I really don't like the idea of the fact between my Amazon Cloud cams and my Ring, everything just living at Amazon. I don't really trust some of their privacy policies. They could misuse that. You know, it's just, I don't know, it gives me a creepy feeling. I would love to be able to put it in something where privacy would be more of a concern, and I'm thinking about that myself. What do you guys think about that with your videos? Oh, by the way, I do the same thing Jason does now. I used to have it so that my cameras would only turn on when both phones were away, but now I just leave the cameras recording, you know, like all the time.
So we don't have any cameras now, and I too just saw that news about the Eufy cams over the weekend. I was started filling out our Amazon registry for the wedding, and I was actually thinking about adding those Eufy cams on there because of the new HomeKit support. So you need to go ahead and do that so you can try them out and let me know if I need to buy them. So there you go.
I will do it post haste. What about you, Brad?
I'm gonna go probably the where I store it here in house, and I'm gonna put traditional Power of Ethernet cameras in the house, and I've got a couple of cloud cams around. And they work fine, but recently in the last, and mind you, I live in an old neighborhood, but it's never seemed, you know, unsafe. Well, the other night, Grace was out front in the driveway with one of her friends, and some teenager just comes walking out of our backyard, opens the gate to the backyard, comes out of our backyard, and just walks by. And Grace is sort of astonished, or, you know, kind of just caught off guard, and doesn't say anything to the teenager. And I'm like, why would there be someone we don't know in our backyard? It's like, it was after dark, so they wouldn't be out there, you know, throwing the ball around, and they need to come get a ball out of the backyard or whatever. And none of the kids around here are that young anyway. I mean, everybody here is 15 or older. You know, you wouldn't see kids playing with a ball outside. So I'm convinced I've got to put some, you know, outdoor cameras on the perimeter of the house, and I'm going to probably install like a VM on a QNAP or something, just so I can record it in-house and be able to access it through some cloud portal. But
if somebody breaks in and steals your stuff, though, then your video footage of that is gone with them. That's the only part that like. That's the and that would be the time you would need it the most. So I don't think the cloud's bad. I just think that I don't know. I don't Amazon or Google. I just get a bad feeling about. Plus, if you do the HomeKit stuff, you're able to watch. You can look at it from your watch in real time, which is actually kind of when it works is. is pretty
kind of James Bondish, right?
Yeah, it's really kind of neat. I've pulled up my
Dick Tracy.
The Logitech Circle 2s, those are like $150 a piece. The these Anchor cameras are not cheap either. Plus, they don't have removable batteries, which that's kind of weird that they do that. One thing I like about my Ring is like I have a battery powered Ring, and I can just change it once every 6 months, and it's good, you know. And so, what do? You take the camera down and bring it in the house and charge it? Like that's weird. I don't know. It seems odd to me.
See, I kind of saw that in the last 6 months. I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. I really hadn't thought about having to take it down and bring it in to charge it, but
a battery powered camera is a
they
nice
really
thing,
last but 6 months.
No, they say a year. They say months? A year is what they say with this. Like those they say is a year. My Ring doorbell is like 6 months.
Probably if you're doing, you know, motion recording, you know, you're not necessarily constant recording.
But even then, if you're pointed outside, you have things that wave and move. I mean, I don't know. The detection has gotten pretty smart to be able to distinguish. Like, you can tell it, this is a face, this is a human, this is whatever, and it gets smarter about that. I know the Amazon Cloud cams, you can say, all right, record in this zone, and if it looks like a human, let me know. Otherwise, don't bother me.
which I know SimpliSafe has some systems where they'll record to their cloud, and you can also, you know, integrate that into like one of their home security systems if you wanted to go that route. And everything's wireless, and they have some sort of hub you put in your house that can, so if your Wi-Fi is out, it will fail over to a cellular connection if you want to pay the extra for that failover connectivity.
Those are the other ones I've looked at is SimpliSafe. Like if we end up moving, we have an existing alarm here, but if we end up moving this year, which we hope to, then I, you know, that was the other option I was looking into, is instead of going with those cams like that, going with the whole SimpliSafe system of, you know, cams and doorbell and alarm and all the shebang.
ADT just announced something at CES today too, where they have their own line of cameras and doorbell and all that good stuff now as well. So the market is starting to heat up. I wish Apple would hurry up and make one. Let's see what else is going on. So I read an article where Federico Vitici modded the silicone tips of the AirPods Pro with a memory foam layer, and we'll put a link to that in the show notes. And when I read that, the first thing I thought of was Jim. Did you see that article, Jim? Are you going to try something like this yourself soon?
I did, Funky Ear Jim. I saw it, and I must admit that I have looked on Amazon to see like what kind of foam filling or whatever, you know, like the tips that I could mod, but I have not ordered anything yet. I'm holding out for just complete solution, you know, already like with me not, you know, trying to Etsy up my damn ear tips on my
nice
AirPods Pro. So, you know, it's like, you know, I don't want to Etsy them up, but I'll damn sure buy something off Kickstarter.
Oh my God.
And then wait a year to get them.
Yes.
Yeah, I'll have new AirPods Pro before they actually ship. But yeah, I did see that, and I did catch myself kind of looking on Amazon at the options that they had on there that I might could, you know, put on underneath the tips. But I have not tried it yet.
I figured that'd be right up your alley. Let's see, we're gonna blow through these topics pretty quick this week. So there's a report that Apple sold $6 billion worth of AirPods in 2019. They're saying even more next year. It could be as high as $15 billion for 2020. And I did the old, why did Apple remove the headphone jack and the SpongeBob meme font in the notes? Because this is something that comes up a lot. I still see people who get salty about them pulling the headphone jack off, but I'm kind of thinking, even though they had Bluetooth before, this seems to have not been an issue. Like, I mean, $6 billion just on the AirPod product alone. That I can't even wrap my head around that. At $150 a piece, that's a hell of a lot of AirPods.
It's a lot of Q-tips.
A lot of memory foam.
I feel like a lot of it may be on replacement, you know, chargers and you know, the left one or the right one too.
Yeah, something I've noticed about my first generation AirPods. Now, I've had those since, what, December of 2016, so 3 years. I guess it's about right. I keep my first gen by my bed, and if I'm watching TV and my wife is playing on the iPad, she don't want to be disturbed, I'll just bond them to the Apple TV in the bedroom. And I couldn't even watch a full episode of Watchmen on that thing before they started dying. And you can't replace the batteries in them, so yeah, I hate that sound so bad. But yeah, that I'm starting to think that it really didn't seem like a bad move. I don't know. What do you guys think about that?
Yeah, I mean, they're everywhere, and I still see people kind of balk at, oh God, they're so expensive, or I'm going to lose them, or some other crap. And I'm like, look, I lose stuff all the time, and I've left mine one or two places, and I went back and got them. But for the most part, you know, for a couple of years since I've had mine, you know, it's they're still around. They're well worth it. You know, I mean, if it's something you're going to use all the time, it's a whole lot better than having a cable going between your phone and your damn ears. I mean, it's just, you know, it's new, and I think it's finally gotten to where people are adjusted to it a little more. I think I added to the show notes, and I heard it might have been on the Tech Meme Ride Home where he mentioned like the AirPods Pro are back ordered to next month or the following month right now. I mean, like, you know, a month or two out if you try to get them from Apple. I mean, that's just crazy. Because Apple can make some stuff, right? They can make some stuff really fast and a whole lot of it. And if they can't keep up with orders, then that's a lot of orders.
I totally agree. And, you know, there's nice little use cases for it when some of the other things that make it nice. So last week when we were in Nashville, the weather had been like it's been here, where one day it's really warm, one day it's super cold. And we went to a thing called Glow in Nashville, which is like this, it was like a light thing, and they had skating, and it's a, just sort of a little touristy thing for you to do. And it was one of the cold days. It was like in the 30s. And I had my jacket on. I had my big Montana gloves on. And my wife was out skiing, but she kept texting back and forth because we were separated. So what I did was I left the AirPods Pro in, and I had Siri reading out all my texts when they arrived. So when something would happen, you know, I would just get the, one second, I accidentally triggered Siri. So it was reading out all of my texts. So I could stand there keeping my hands warm, not having to look at my phone or my watch. And it would be like, you have a new text. And it would just read it out and I could reply. And it was one of those things where, you know, it's super neat. Like, I'm sorry. It's just, it was perfect utility and a use case that I hadn't even considered. Do you guys do that where you have you have Siri read out your text if your AirPods are in?
I don't.
You really should.
I do now with the AirPods Pro. I maybe it was on by default because I didn't know I'd said it, but the first time it happened and it, like, you know, you got a message and it read it out and I'm like, whoa, that was kind of neat. So, yeah.
For some reason, I still get my HomePod and my AirPods Pro fighting it out when I try to reply to those texts. So I'll tell it to reply and I'll hear the AirPods and I'll hear the HomePod in the other room try to, like, do the same thing. Like, who do you want to send it to? It's like, oh my God. When you're out and about, oh, it's perfect. Don't even have to take out your phone. You can just do everything by voice. Wonderful. Which would be a bit harder if you were using wired headphones because, let's face it, most people aren't going to walk around like that. But I've said it before and I'll say it again. The little change pocket on my jeans, perfect place for both AirPods and AirPods Pro. They never get lost. Never lost them once. Knock on wood. Let's see. So which one of you guys put in the Jimmy Iovine knows music and here's why?
I did.
Let's talk about that, Jim.
So this is a story, an interview in the New York Times with Jimmy Iovine, and there's a bunch of stuff in there. But the thing that really stuck with me reading the article is him making comparisons of the music streaming services with the video streaming services and comparing, you know, he's like, Disney has got, you know, their own content, you know, and they're, you know, doing gangbusters, and Netflix has got their own content and they're doing gangbusters. But with music streaming, it's not the same. You know, the way he put it was, with Netflix, the more subscribers you get, the more money you make because you pay for the content once. You know, you pay to make the show, and then as many people that watch it, you know, you make money on those subscribers. Where music streaming services, they don't scale. The more people listen to the music, the more you're paying for, you know, the micro cents per stream for those services. You know, and he called it a commodity and basically said the thing with commodities is it's always just going to be the lowest price point's going to win, you know, and you're always going to have somebody coming in and try to cut the price. And I never really thought about the music streaming services like that compared to video, but it makes total sense. And he's like, it's, you know, it's not sustainable at, you know, at this point for the providers like Spotify or Apple. And it's also not great for the artist either, you know, because he made a reference in the article, which I found kind of crazy, that last year or for whatever time period it was, Drake and Billie Eilish had more streams than all 1980s music.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's one of those kind of things where, and they all get paid the same, right? It's per stream. So it's not like you've got a rare 1977 track and if somebody plays it, they get $5 for it. No, they still get, you know, basically a, you know, a fraction of a cent for that one stream of it, you know, whereas before, at least somebody would go buy, you know, a whole CD to have to listen to that song if they wanted to hear it. So it was just, I thought it was a good article. That's the one thing that really jumped out at me, you know, talking about the different business models. I mean, you know, he did call out Spotify for trying to get into the podcast business. And I think his quote was, you know, I hope that works out for them. You know, like, you know, they're trying, right? You know, they're doing what they can, you know, but one of the questions was, you know, why would an up-and-coming artist even sign with a label now? You know, if they can get this stuff out on their own and, you know, what good are the labels now? And, you know, maybe that's the future of, you know, Apple has their artist and Spotify had their artist. And, you know, you're going to have to pay for both, you know, if you want to get, you know, if you want to get Drake and Billie Eilish, you're going to have to pay for both or something like that. Or, you know, Adele goes to one of, you know, the other, whatever, you know.
This is something we've talked about in the past, too. And it's a very interesting thing. I can remember reading an article with a guy who invented iMeme, I-M-E-E-M. It was a music service that came out like the mid-2000s. And I think it was sold to like MySpace or something by like 2008 or something, back when that was still a thing. And I remember that was the first that I had heard of this, where the way that the streaming, royalties are written into the streaming contracts is that the more people that use your service, the more money you pay. And it becomes this snowball effect that, ironically, the more listeners you have, the less money you have. Whereas Netflix and other video services pay a flat fee. If they pay for $100 million for Friends, you know, a billion people could watch it. And they don't pay any additional money. It's a flat fee. Music industry has never been set up like that. And that's also why I think you see so many of the same artists on so many different providers. They didn't want to prop one up. They put them on everywhere, and they view it kind of like a radio station. Like, we don't care if Apple plays it or Spotify plays it. As long as someone's playing it and we get our streams, we're fine. And I think that was absolutely one of the most astute things that he said, because you think about it now, it's having that direct-to-customer relationship is very easy for an artist. There are people that come up that aren't getting radio play that are all of a sudden successful, and you're like, where did this person come from? How did they even do this? And they have, you know, a huge YouTube following, a huge Snapchat following, a huge whatever, but those traditional media channels are kind of dying. That being said, I could always see Apple having deep enough pockets to go out and buy a record company, or go out and buy a back catalog, or whatever it takes to sort of, you know, shift things in their favor. I think it's a fool's errand for Spotify to compete against Apple, because Apple has a diversified business already, and they can prop up that music business for as long as they want to, and eventually they'll win. Whereas if you're Spotify, you're trying to monetize podcasts, like they say, good luck. I don't see that all slipping behind a paywall. If it does, it won't be because Spotify did it, I don't think.
All right, I mean, Apple can use music as a service to sell their hardware. It's like if you buy our hardware and you like music, here, you know, for $10 a month, you can listen to music on this hardware we sold you. Whereas Spotify is just like, Apple, please sell people hardware so they can subscribe to our service.
Ironically, without Apple, Spotify doesn't do as well. If Apple ever did an ad-free, an ad-supported tier for Apple Music, that would be game over Spotify. Because that's where most of their listenership comes from. The vast bulk of those numbers they like to pop up are going to be from people who are doing the free tier. So I thought that was a good read as well, and we'll put a link to it in the show notes, because I always wonder why I left Apple as well. I think TikTok was one of the things that he mentioned in the article as well, which I thought was kind of funny.
Yeah, TikTok's nuts. I kind of got on there a couple of months back because my nephew does it, and he has like a million followers or something. I mean, it's crazy. I didn't get it. It was social network where I truly was like Snapchat took me a while, but then I kind of got the hang of it, and I'm okay with Snap right now, you know, but TikTok, Nope.
See, I'm glad you say that, because I've been going through my own old man catharsis here lately, where, you know, in the past, whenever a service came out, I would go and secure my username. I would download it. I would play with it. Even if I only did it once or twice, I would do it and then it would be there. But this has been the first thing where it's like, yeah, this isn't for me. I don't even need to, I'm good. Like, you know, I'm old. It's fine. I don't need to do this. I won't miss it at all.
Eventually, you're going to old out of a lot of new things.
Yes, and it's a wonderful feeling.
Old out. I love that.
That may be a show title. I still feel that way about Snapchat, honestly, is that I never really got the utility of it. I mean, I was slow to join Instagram, for God's sake, but even that I see more utility in than something like Snapchat. Like, it never made any sense to me at all. And then when they try to like pivot into, here, we're going to show you news and videos and content, it's like, yeah, it's called YouTube. Why do I need this?
It's like when you old out into getting socks for Christmas, Brad.
Yeah. We old out into tech that doesn't mean anything to anybody that's under the age of, I don't know, 25. Oh, that's funny. I'm glad you said that, because I was like, I wonder if these guys have actually looked at this stupid Vine replacement, which really is all it seems like to me, is like this was Vine like 10 years ago. Was it not?
It's weird. It's like music looping and and video over the top, and it's just really weird. But I mean, my nephew loves it, and you know, he's made hundreds of these videos, and you know, some of them have gotten thousands and thousands of, you know, views, and I mean, it's nuts.
I just know that the, you know, the youngest generation basically has access to this stuff now, and every 8-year-old or older has a phone in their hand, and they're all going to use it for some reason. And I have seen TikTok, and I have seen even people our age on there just sitting in their vehicle telling jokes on it. I've just seen this old guy, like an old guy, us, our age, older than the 8-year-olds, but rolling through and just telling these funny jokes. And then it would cycle through to the next video, and it's some teenage girl, you know, doing a cheer, and then the next thing. And I'm like, I don't really get it, and I probably won't ever use it again. Delete.
It should be sponsored by Adderall. It should be who's bankrolling. I mean, yeah. what you're describing. See, this is a weird thing. Let me shake my fist at the sky and curse the cloud for a moment, as Abraham Simpson would do. I find that watching a plethora, would you say there's a plethora of them? By watching a plethora of YouTube videos, I feel that my attention span has been shortened to the point that I watching normal TV kind of bothers me now. Like, this is too long. I can only imagine what it happens to these young, impressionable minds that watch 6 to 10 second videos in a loop over and over and over. It's going to be like some sort of Clockwork Orange style deprogramming of, like, I can't even put it into words. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, no kid, or I say kid, will be able to hold a thought that lasts longer than, say, 2 minutes. And be able to, you know, get up in front of a college auditorium and present some sort of thesis or whatever.
Oh my God, if it does that to us, what must it do to them? Whew. You ever have that issue, Jim? You watch so much YouTube that you go to watch a normal TV show, and then you're like, eh, screw this, I'm going to go back to YouTube.
No, I just have my phone in my hand while I'm watching whatever I'm watching. So, like I was talking earlier about watching Survivor, that was kind of... I can sit on Survivor and watch Survivor and have Pokemon go into my hand and kind of searching through my, you know, basically deleting and renaming and just, you know, playing around with all my Pokemon or whatever, sitting on the couch.
I started to link to an article that I found about two-screen viewership, and I should have done it, where I guess the percentage of people who do something on an iPad or phone while they watch TV. I saw an Onion story not too long ago where it was like Netflix to launch second streaming service that has nothing you have to pay attention to, something to keep on in the background while you play on your phone.
It's just audio, no video.
Meg will sit there and play Dr. Mario, you know, while it's going on, you know, just, you know.
For my wife, it's Plants vs. Zombies 2. that's her jam. Which is kind of a weird thing, because if you're watching anything that requires, like, you can watch reality television all day long with something going on a second screen. It's not going to bother you at all. You go to watch something that's a little more involved. Anything on HBO, I have to put my phone down. Like, I can't do that, or I will have no idea what
the
going on.
Like The Crown. If you're watching The Crown, you pay attention. Because to me, like, you want to see the facial expressions and the acting and what's going on and everything for something like that. But, you know, I can watch a football game that I'm not necessarily a crazy fan of, you know, like either one of the teams, but I want to watch football and kind of keep track of what's going on. And I'll have, you know, my iPad or iPhone in my hand.
Well, something like The Watchmen, you know, you look away for 15 seconds and you missed it, and you really will have to rewind and rewatch, or you'll be rewatching the entire episode if you don't go back.
Particularly the episodes that are not told in linear order. So if you're Legion is another show on FX, I guess it's canceled now or it's over, but that was another one too, where it was like being on LSD while you were watching it. And if you weren't on top of it, you would be completely lost in about 10 seconds.
That drove me nuts when I watched Narcos, because it's all in Spanish. And so I watched that when I lived in the loft. And, you know, so I've got this 75-inch TV on one wall. I can walk anywhere in my loft and be doing stuff. I'm in the kitchen. I'm in my office. It's all one big room.
But you don't speak Spanish.
I would put, you know, a TV show on, and no matter what I'm doing in the room, I've got the TV. I can hear what's going on. If it gets interesting, I can watch. But I don't speak Spanish. And so it's like you have to sit down and read the damn TV. And so I love the show, but it was just like I can't do anything else but sit here and read the screen. And I know now that Patron means boss, and that's about the only thing I learned from that show. But Patron means boss.
And this is the reason why I never watched beyond season one of Narcos. Thank you for coming to my TED Talk. Yes, I'm in the same boat on that one, actually. I watched the first season in, 2015 when it came out? And even, I think I was traveling when the first, when it dropped, and I was watching on a laptop or an iPad or something. So at least I had my attention focused. But then as I continued to binge later on, I was like, what happened? And I'm having to go back and read, and I meant to, I swear.
So many times that I rewind that damn thing.
One day I will finish that. I promise. It's on a list. I think if I ever have a crippling disease or something where I'm bedridden again for another 3 months, I'm just going to say to hell with it and just binge something. But yeah,
it was so good. I've watched that one, and now they did Narcos Mexico, basically CSI New Orleans version, you know. But I'm sitting there going, you really need to learn Spanish.
Especially living in Texas. My goodness.
Exactly.
Let's see. I only had one or two more topics. Those can kind of wait. Those are sort of evergreen topics. So this might be a good place to go ahead and wrap it up. Anything you guys want to talk about before we call it a show?
Real quick, I just wanted to mention that. So for most of the last year, I've been using a client laptop, and so I haven't been on my MacBook Pro, or if I have been on my MacBook Pro, it's been plugged into a screen. I started having to use it a couple weeks ago, and that keyboard was driving me nuts. I mean, it's just, if you don't type on it all the time, and I'm not talking about key sticking, I'm just talking about just the feel of the keyboard is just so bad that if you type on it a lot, you kind of get used to it and it's okay. But if you only pick it up every now and then and start typing on it, it's just like, oh, it just drives me nuts. I actually convinced myself last month. I was having problems with Catalina, you know, just mess ups here and there. And so I did a full blank install of my old MacBook Pro 13-inch from 2014, mid-2014 model. That's what I'm doing the podcast on right now. I have had no problems with this laptop. It's running, you know, the OS perfectly. I'm not getting any errors. It does everything I need, because for the most part, I use my iPad Pro for anything I need now. I'm very rarely on my Mac. So I actually, over Christmas, emailed IT for the place I work for and said, hey, if I could get another work laptop, because I gave them my work laptop back like 18, 24 months ago and just said, hey, I'll use my Mac, you know, like bring your own. And so I just said, hey, if I could get another, Windows laptop for my next client. And I think I'm actually going to sell the 2017 MacBook Pro, see what I can get for it. And I use my iPad and then this old Mac. And then if they actually do come out with new iPad Pros this year, that's what I'll actually buy for an upgrade instead of, you know, getting another Mac. Because, I mean, this old one actually does anything I really needed to do, you know, small form factor. I'm going backwards in time. It's like I'm an old man now that I'm running a Mac that's 5 years old and I'm perfectly happy with it. Isn't that crazy?
No, actually, that's completely reasonable. And the reason it's reasonable is because it fits the use case for what you're trying to do. It's not, you're not trying to set the world on fire. You're not trying to rip 4K UHD Blu-rays like I'm doing over here right now. It gets the job done, particularly when it comes to work. Like, within the context of your job, you have a pretty narrow subset of things that you need to do on your computer. It doesn't have to do. Now I'm starting to sound like every guy that ever worked in the IT department for every employer that I ever had that would always complain when I wanted a beefier laptop. But if all you need is to be able to do a browser, a code editor, some of these other things, it really doesn't make sense to have something more than that if you don't really need it. The iPad, I swear, when I've had to travel, if I'm going to a client and I'm having to, you know, I can use Slack on it. I can use Outlook on it. I can use, I can browse the web on it. It has a cellular connection. Like, it has Office. It has.
Right. The cellular connection is really the key there, right?
To never have to worry with a client's Wi-Fi network, or in some places that I've been that are secure facilities where you can't get on their Wi-Fi or network at all. It is perfect.
Connect to outside sources that you need to connect to because their firewalls are too restricted.
Exactly. So it's like, I don't have to worry about anything. And, you know, yeah, it's a little bit of a trade-off sometimes of I have to switch between apps when I'm going from like Slack to a browser or Slack to, you know, Prompt so that I can SSH somewhere or something like that. But as long as I have VPN connectivity, I'm usually pretty good. Of course, you know, my company recently switched to a VPN company that doesn't deal well with wildcard certs, so I got to get that sorted out because I can't VPN now using iOS, which kind of sucks, but we'll get it sorted out. But yeah, I mean, it gets the job done, and it's so much easier to travel with than a laptop. I mean, it's no contest compared. I mean, a single pane of glass versus even the smallest laptop. I mean, I guess if I had a MacBook Air, it wouldn't be so bad, but I don't want to travel with my big computer, with my big backpack, with my everything. I would love to just be able to take a sling bag or something that just has a laptop, a power cord, and a... That's the other thing, too. The older I get and the more that I travel, I mean, yeah, I do check bags when I go places because I have medical equipment and things that I need to take with me, which is, you know, kind of a bummer. But on my person, I like to travel with as little as possible. And I swear to God, one of these days, I don't know, I do some video stuff and other things that editing right now is still easier on a laptop. But come on, Adobe, get that Premiere Pro on iPad working like it's supposed to, baby, please, because I need that. I would do so much better if I could just do that from an iPad. Oh my God, light years difference. But if I'm just doing client work, oh my God, it's the best. So I guess that's all for me. It's all for you, Jim. Is that all from you, Brad?
Yep.
All right. Well, that's the show then. And talk to you guys next time. And later, fellas.
Later, fellas.
Please visit infiniteloopback.com for show notes and previous episodes. Follow us on Twitter. We're at infinloopback. That's at I-N-F-I-N loopback. I'm Brian B. That's at B-R-I-A-N-B. Jim is at Big Jim. That's at B-I-G-J-I-M. Jason is at J-S-N-Y-N-G. That's at J-S-N-Y-N-G. And Brad is at Meester Idle. That's at M-E-E-S-T-E-R-I-D-L-E. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.